CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham, where web references can be found in the script either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday the 12th of September 2021. Here are the main news headlines. IARU Region 1 Awards Medals, RSGB Convention Trailer released, Electro Jumble at Computing Museum. IARU Region 1 has announced the recipients of Region 1 medals. The six people have made a very significant contribution to the IARU Region 1's work over the years. Hilary Clayton-Smith, G4JKS, is an EMC committee member and until recently its secretary for nearly 25 years. She's been an IARU representative in the European Telecommunications Standardisation Institute during discussions on power line technology. The EMC committee is a forum for progressing the region's work on EMC matters, and much of its success is due to Hilary's early work. Hilary is also a past president of the RSGB. Dave Court, EI3IO, led the Spectrum and Regulatory Liaison Committee through the period of WRC 19 that resulted in the region-wide allocation to the amateur service of a 2 megahertz segment at 50 megs. Other medal recipients were Peter HB9CT, Tora LA9QL, Jacques ON4AVJ and Hans ON6WQ. You can read more about it at iaru-rfigure1.org. The RSGB online convention is taking place on the 9th of October. The Society has just released its video trailer for the event that will give you a taste of what to expect. There'll be two streams of talks available all day as well as after the event on the RSGB YouTube channel. Steve G0KYA, chairman of the RSGB's Propagation Studies Committee, will look at what we can expect from the upcoming solar maximum in his talk Solar Cycle 25, The Good, the Bad and the Downright Ugly. He looks at the good and not so good aspects, including better propagation on the higher HF bands, but greater risks of solar flares and coronal mass ejections. You can watch the video and read about the other talks of the two streams on the RSGB site under convention. Whether you're new to amateur radio or have been enjoying it indeed for years, do put the 9th of October in your diary. The National Museum of Computing on the Bletchley Park site will be holding an electro jumble on Sunday the 19th of September from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Although entry to the event is free, admission will be pre-booked tickets only. For more details and information and booking details, please visit tnmoc.org and scroll to upcoming events. The early 20s saw the dawn of international amateur radio. A series of significant milestones led over some 5 years from no amateur radio transmission ever having been heard on another continent to intercontinental two-way communications becoming commonplace. The RSGB will commemorate these historic events by encouraging everyone to get on the air to make QSOs focusing on December 2021 and December 2022. Full details on how you can participate will be published via the Society's communications channel over the next few months. There'll be features and photos in Radcom, but you can also read the fascinating story on the RSGB website. Last week, RSGB General Manager Steve Thomas, M1ACB, was invited to speak online to Stockport Radio Society members. His presentation explained the framework of the RSGB, looked back at the challenges and successes of 2020, and also highlighted the need to support the thousands of new licensees who've joined in the last year. He answered a wide range of questions and was joined by RSGB Board Director Dave Wilson, M0OBW. You can watch the presentation on the Stockport Radio Society YouTube channel. Sadly, the Genesis L and Genesis N amateur radio satellites were among several lost following the failure of the Firefly Alpha rocket during launch. An anomaly occurred about 2 minutes into the mission, causing controllers to destroy the launcher in flight. The anomaly has yet to be explained. This week, the RSGB passed the fantastic milestone of 4,000 candidates passing their foundation licence via remote invigilation. During 2020, the Society implemented remote invigilation in stages for all three licence levels to enable people to become involved with amateur radio and progress despite the pandemic. The RSGB is delighted that 1,241 candidates have since passed the intermediate exam and 544 have gained their full licence. Congratulations due to the small team of remote invigilators and congratulations, of course, to all those successful candidates. The DXCC Most Wanted Entities list has been updated on a club blog. The full list contains 340 entities, with the top three being North Korea, Bouvet Island and Crozet Island. There have been no changes at the top of the list. Now for details of rallies and events, before travelling to any rally, please check that it's still on, or there may be alterations to the detail because of the pandemic. Today the 12th, the Caister Lifeboat Rally takes place at Caister Lifeboat Station, Tan Lane, Caister-on-Sea, Norfolk, NR35DJ. Doors open 9:30, there'll be raffle and on-site cafe will be open, and the museum... The on-site, not online, the on-site cafe will be open. The museum will also be open. Also today, the 12th, the Exeter Radio and Electronics Rally takes place in America Hall, De La Rue Way, Pinhoe in Exeter, EX48PW. Doors open 10:30 a.m, £2 admission, with under-16s free. Visitors are encouraged to wear face covering when inside. Next Sunday, the Cambridge Repeater Group Rally will be held in Foxton Village Hall, Hartman Road, Foxton, CB22 6RN. Please be aware that there will not be a bring and buy, but car boot traders are welcome. Visitors are recommended to wear face masks for the indoor section. Doors open 9:30, entry £3. Looking ahead, the Western Supermare Rally takes place on the 26th of September in the Campus Community Centre, BS247DX. Doors open 10 a.m, £3 to get in. Now for DX News. Gabor HA3JB will be active as 5H1IP from Zanzibar Island, IOTA AF032, between the 17th and 29th of September. He'll operate CW, SSB, RTTY and FT8, 160 to 6 metre bands QSL via Club Locks OQRS or direct to HA3JB. Adrian F4IHM will be back in Niger until the 22nd of October and be active as 5UAIHM. I wonder if that's 5UA. Yes, it is IHM. In his spare time, he operates CW and SSB on the 40 and 20 metre bands, QSL F4IHM, direct or via the Bureau. And there's a little note to remind me that that call sign was correct, even though it looks strange. Harold, DF2WO, will be active as 9X2AW from Kigali in Rwanda between the 13th and 28th of September. He'll operate CW, SSB, RTTY and FT8, 160 to 10 metre bands, QSL via M0OXO and Logbook of the World. Klaus, DL8DZL, will be active as DL8ZL, portable from Usedom Island, which is EU129, until the 21st of September. He'll be operating CW and SSB 40 to 10 metre bands, QSL via Home Call Direct or Bureau. Special event news, International Chocolate Day is the 13th of September. EG5DIC will be on the air, marking the International Chocolate Day until the 19th of September, using CWSSB FT8 on the 10 to 80 metre bands, and there's a downloadable award available. I suspect it's not chocolate. Thurrock Acorns Amateur Radio Club will be operating GB2BB for Battle of Britain from the 10th to the 20th of September. Riviera Amateur Radio Club will be running GB8BB in September in commemoration of those who served in the Battle of Britain. This year is the 80th anniversary. Now for the contest news. When operating in contest, please keep yourself and fellow amateurs safe and following any governmental recommendations. This weekend, the WAE DXSSB contest ends its 48-hour run at 23:59 UTC today, the 12th, using all the contest bands 3.5 to 28 megs. The exchange is signal report and serial number. European stations work non-Europeans only. Today, the UK Microwave Group contest runs from 0900 to 1700 UTC. Using 24 to 76 gigs bands, the exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. On Wednesday, the CW leg of the 80-metre autumn series runs from 1900 to 2100 UTC, exchanges signal report and serial number. The 70 megs UK activity contest takes place between 1900 and 2130 UTC on Thursday, using all modes, the exchanged signal report, serial number and locator. Next Sunday is the 70 megs affiliated clubs contest running from 0900 to 1200 UTC, using all modes, the exchanged signal report, serial number and locator. The IRTS 70 SEMS counties contest runs 1300 to 1330 UTC next Sunday the 19th, using SSB and FM, the exchanges signal report and serial number. Note that EI and GI stations also give their county. The IRTS 2-metre county contest is also next Sunday, but running 1330 to 1500 UTC. Details and exchange are the same as for the 70 SEMS contest. Finally, for next Sunday, the Bartag Sprint PSK 63 contest runs from 1700 to 2100 UTC. The exchange is just the serial number. Just the serial number, that's it. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. What a difference, they write. What a difference a week makes. Last week we were looking at a virtually spotless sun when we said that NOAA predicted the SFI would decline to the low 80s. But this week we've had an explosion of sunspot activity. As a result, the SFI has gone up to 100 with sunspot numbers of 87. Just to recap, that doesn't mean there are 87 sunspots, as groups count for 10 and sunspots count for 1. In any event, it shows the cycle is progressing nicely. The solar wind pushed the KP index up to 4 on Wednesday, but this didn't seem to impact much on MUFs. HF conditions are definitely improving, probably by a combination of seasonal changes and the increased solar flux. There were extensive openings to South America and the Caribbean this week on 21 megs, and we can expect these to improve as the month goes on. It was good to work the Dominican Republic on 15, FD8, as well as numerous Brazilian and Argentinian stations. It'll be interesting to see if we get 10-metre openings to North America in late September, which normally requires an SFI of more than 100 to make them reliable. Next week, NOAA predicts the SFI will reduce to about 85 again, as active regions 2863 to 2869 rotate out of view. There are signs of other groups that will come into view, but we may not get the high SFI that we experienced this week. The good news is that geomagnetic conditions are likely to remain settled due to a lack of coronal holes, as long as we don't get any coronal mass ejections. Now for VHF and up, for newer licensees, last weekend was possibly the first experience of a decent tropo opening, coinciding with a major European SSB CW contest. The European 144 megs contest shows what the band is capable of without the help of a computer, with SSB QSOs from Scotland down to the Czech Republic. This week on VHF and above, it's very much a little bit of tropo, a little bit of rain scatter and a little bit flat band. The weekend is seeing the end of the unsettled conditions, with high pressure returning for a while for the start of the new week. A couple of further showery incursions and rain in the northwest around midweek, and just a hint that further high pressure ridging may return at the end of the week. So in terms of propagation interests, it feels like a mix of tropo and some gigahertz rain scatter at times, with periods of no particular preference and, of course, always a small chance of some aurora or meteor scatter, so keep your options open. Random meteor activity is still high in the September Epsilon Perseids, are still active until the 21st of September, so keep checking in the early morning for the best MS conditions. With the moon at minimum declination on Tuesday, peak moon elevations drop to 11 degrees, and the moon is only above the horizon for about 6.5 hours. It reached perigee on Saturday, so path losses will be low but increasing. And that's it from the propagation team this week, and that's all from me too until next week.